Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everybody. Again, I'm Jeff Behrens. My wife and I go to Newfield location over at Fusion. It's good to be back. I think this is my third time back on soap. I appreciate you guys having me back. My voice isn't 100% today. Sunday night I had food poisoning. So, you know, a lot of irritation in the throat there. But that lost 8 pounds in 12 hours. So first cup of coffee I had in a few days, you know, as you let the stomach settle. So bear with me. It seems like every time I have one of these soaps, there's always some sort of challenge that comes my way. So that's today's challenge. So bear with me. So I might have to clear my throat and I may not have my same, you know, enthusiastic voice behind me today. But we got John chapter 9. Before I read, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us and get us started. And so, Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for, this technology that we have that we can quickly gather together. And you say where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there in the midst of us. So God, we trust that even though we're not physically in a room together, but we're here together in spirit. As even Paul would say, he's like, I'm with you in spirit. We're with each other in spirit, and we're together in this Zoom room, if you will. And it's nothing too advanced for you to be a part of this conversation and to be in our midst, to be here with us and to allow your spirit to speak to us and to, you know, open our eyes to things that we may be blind to reveal more of your character to us, reveal more of our flaws that we need to see, help us to accept the strengths and the strengths that you have given us, Lord. So speak to us today, help us to see this passage and help us to see and receive something personal today, or that you would speak to us again. Your word is sharp, it's alive, it's powerful, it speaks to us, it's not just for information. So even though we may learn something new, help us to, grow from it. Help us to be changed from it. Help us to love it and meditate on it, Lord. So speak to us. We invite you into this space. We love you, Jesus. Amen. All right, guys. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version today. So I got my Bible out today. Last week I used my wife's Bible, but New King James, if you want to read along word for word with me, that's what I'll be reading. And I know sometimes when I read, I don't have with the different translation, my brain just doesn't work quite right. So having the same translation for some people can help. Some people may be able to read along in a Spanish version, some other a lot more complicated translation and follow along just well. But New King James, so if you want to take a second, turn there. Or if you're happy where you're at, that's fine. John chapter 9 is our passage today. So today I'm just going to read all the way through and then we'll break down some points. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. That's going to be a key verse we're going to come back to. So I'll read it again. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind, right, the people that knew he was blind, they said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, no, it's like him. Someone that looks like him, that's not him. And he said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how are your eyes open? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? Right, where is Jesus? He said, I do not know. So they brought him, the guy who was formerly blind, they brought him to the Pharisees. Now it was Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Real quick, I'm guessing, right, this is probably then the day after they took him, right? Nobody, they won't do anything on the Sabbath. And they're talking, now it was the Sabbath when Jesus healed him. So I don't think this all happened within the same day. I could be wrong. Just you know, some time has passed at least. Then the Pharisees, verse 15. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who was a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. So what's your opinion? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him who had received, until they called his parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. So they're confirming, yes, this is our son. And yes, he was born blind. But by which means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. Now his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, right? Talking about Jesus, they're saying, give God the glory. We know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. The blind man, previous blind man, says, he answered and says, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing, I love this, one of my favorite verses. This is a key verse for today, right? One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. I closed the book right there. Now, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know, right? I don't know much about this Jesus dude. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. We'll get back to that in a moment. And then they said to him again, well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to also become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, this dude over here, We don't know where he's from. The man answered and said to them, Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has never been heard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. Like, this is a new thing. Like, all through the world, this has never happened before. And if this man Jesus, were not from God, he could do nothing, let alone, right, receive someone born blind to make them have sight again. Like, they answered him, You were completely born in sin, and you are teaching us. And they cast him out. Again, we're going to go back to this too. I love the progression here, right, of this man blind now coming to teach the Pharisees, the religious leaders here. And they're like, you know, you who are born blind, like the lowest of lowest and a beggar, completely born in sin, and you're going to teach us? And they cast him out. So verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, so Jesus now went to go look for this man after he heard it. And Jesus found him. And when Jesus had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see me, that those who do not see me, and that those who may see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sins remain. Now, I know we're stopping here, but I think your homework, I would encourage you after today's soap, continue on into John 10, because to clarify some of this theme, Jesus then goes into the, he says, most assuredly I say, right? So he's continuing this idea of being a shepherd, and he goes into the shepherd. And even we know that this is a continuation, because it says, as he said this, there was still division among the Jews. You know, this guy has a demon, he's mad. You know, how can a demon open the eyes of the blind, right? So it's kind of all still coming out of this situation. So I would go and read this. I think Jesus brings this parable in to help bring even more clarity of what he's saying to him, and trying to clear up that division among them, and talking about who he is, right? So I would go ahead and read that at another time after we get through. But there we go. I mean, John chapter 9, what a great passage. So I'm just going to break up a couple key points, as we only have about 15 minutes. The first point I see, right, the disciples ask a question, why is this man born blind, right? Is it his sin, his parents' sin? And Jesus clarifies this right away. It's not because of anyone's sin that this man is blind. Now, first thing, we don't want to conclude that it doesn't mean that there aren't consequences for our sins, right? Because there are things that happen that, yes, our children can have consequences from our sin, right? We can have consequences from our own sin. So Jesus isn't saying that we should not, you know, look at some things that are happening and saying, is this a consequence or an action or a result of my sin? Because that may be something that we would have to deal with. But he's saying in this particular case, you know, and also not everything is, right? You get sick. I got food poisoning, right? God, am I getting sick because there's some sin in my life, or is it just because I ate some bad food, right? Is there anything sin in my life that I did? So it's a good question to ask. It could be yes or no. That's for you and God to discern, and then get in there, and maybe your brother or sister in Christ to help you as well. We also see Job, but anyway, but not because anyone sins. So as I read this, right, the cards we are dealt in life aren't always directed as a result of sin. Right? Yes, it is, as we talked about. We can also see this in scripture. So as we see that, a hand that is just a bad hand that we're dealt with, whether we're born blind, have a hearing disability, a rough childhood, different, bad parents, no parents, adoptions, foster care, like whatever it is that's not in your control, right? We have this bad hand, if you will. And it seems like, why is that? Or, what could be the benefit of that? And I think that we get a glimpse in God's answer. It's so that God, the power of God, can be seen for you and others, right? Now, it doesn't mean exclusively the power of God is always going to be displayed through healing and physical miracles, right? So we get this glimpse here. Like, this is what the people needed in that time. Jesus was solidifying and bringing evidence and fruit for us to analyze and to prove that he is the Son of God, right? So we needed these works and these things to be done so that we would believe in Jesus. It would help build his case. But that's not all exclusive to the power of God. And I would say this, like, what's more powerful? Someone who worships the Lord after a great miracle, or someone who worships the Lord after great tragedy? That someone through a storm can still worship the Lord. Other great miracles is even just the people becoming spiritually aware, right? To be blind and now to see in a spiritual aspect, right? And I think as we see the progression of this man, it's not just about a physical blindness being open. I mean, he went from a beggar to thinking, not knowing who this Jesus is, right? Gets this mud on his eyes, and now here's the, he had a walk. They say, most people say it was probably a half a mile walk, and it was a rough terrain for this blind man to walk. So blind, it doesn't say if anyone had guided him, if Jesus gave him a disciple, if the guy just had to go figure it out on his own. God just sent him. Jesus didn't go with him because Jesus wasn't there when he got washed. So this blind man had to go travel with spitty mud on his eyes, a half a mile or so, to go wash in this pool, and then to see. So we also see this spiritual journey, right? So he doesn't know who this man is. At that time, he gets washed. He even gets pulled into the Pharisees, and he's like, maybe he's a prophet. I'm guessing he has to be somebody of God. And as we go through, even as he's being questioned, like he becomes to a place where he's teaching, like his eyes are open, and he's like, guys, like he has to be of God. Like, we know these things. He's starting to see and understand, all the way, so that then Jesus comes and finds him and gives him the final piece that he needs, is like, do you believe in the Son of God? And he's like, yeah, who is he? And he's like, it's me. And with his eyes being open and the blindness, the veil becoming removed, he worships Christ. He fully commits, and he praises God and worships Christ, right? So there's this spiritual, more importantly than the eyes, right? The spiritual blinders are coming off. And to get that point of how much more important that is, you might want to write, I would encourage you to write this down and look at this video later. If you haven't seen The Chosen, you can still look up this clip. If you've seen The Chosen, I would still look up this clip. But if you just Google, if I was savvy enough, I would just mirror my screen. But no, plus we don't have time. But it's a 6-minute clip. It's when Jesus is speaking to little James. I think if you type in the chosen, right? So write that, the chosen, Jesus talking with little James. Why haven't you healed me? Like, you can Google that. There should be a clip. Why haven't you healed me? So little James depicted in the chosen is kind of crippled, right? He has a, I don't know what his condition is, but it's painful. He can't walk. He's got a cane. And Jesus is going around healing all these people. And little James is a disciple of Jesus, and he's not healed. So he's walking around after, like, might be season one, after episode, people getting healed, all these miracles. And now he's building, like, well, why ain't I getting healed, right? Like Jesus, heal me. It looks like someone posted it right there for me. You could probably click that or save that later. Or when we're done, go ahead, write and click it. But yeah, so, and it's an emotional scene, right? Someone posted that. Maybe they posted the video of the blind man. I'm referring to of dealing with when you're not healed, right? So little James, this is a different story, right? So little James is talking, and Jesus answered him of, like, why he isn't healing him. And he said, little James, he's like, people also need an example of how to worship me despite of this, because not everybody's going to be healed. Not everybody's going to have a good physical outcome, right? So he says, little James, like, your heart is open. So you don't need to be healed in order to worship me. And he's like, not many people can do that. It's easy to worship me once you've been healed, but to worship me in spite of your pain and suffering, now that's power, right? That's a testimony. That's the power of God for someone to worship the Lord in spite of the pain and suffering, in spite of the sickness that's not being healed, right? That's power. So God shows up in that power because it's something spiritual that's happening. God's giving you peace and joy and perseverance. Like, those attributes are given from God to help you endure, right? And he says to know that you're patient and suffering, right? So patient and suffering, that's the God power of God on display, because we know that we won't have no suffering in eternity. Right. So if you're blind physically, my hearing, right, I can't hear very well. But in heaven, I won't need these hearing aids no more. Right. I won't need them. I'm going to hear just fine. And there may be some things that I can't necessarily hear in scopes of the sound waves that I'll be able to hear in heaven. Right? There's some people that are paralyzed. I think of the paralytic man that the friends lowered down from the rooftop for Jesus to save. And Jesus, yes, miraculously made him walk. And he said, why did he do it? So that they will know that he has the power to forgive sins. So that man, he would have been just fine if his legs weren't healed, but yet his sins were forgiven. Like, that's the huge miracle, right? To be able to walk around in confidence and worship our Lord because our sins are forgiven, not because of our physical ailments or if our, what level our bank account may be. Again, all these things. So the distinction there is the importance of our spiritual blindness being removed, and the power of God being on display in a lot of various ways. So we can get stuck. The reason I emphasize that so much, because I see a lot of Christians get stuck on this expectation that the power of God is going to look like A plus B equals C. And the power of God, it's not held in a box. It can look like a lot of things. And most of the time it looks like someone still being in their pain, yet overcoming it through their spirit in a way. So I just wanted to camp out there for a minute and check out that video. It's a great, brings that together. All right. So the spiritual walk of this man, right? As you see in verses 8 through 24, being questioned, who's this man? I don't know. And I love to see the progression of this man's spiritual journey, right? From a blind beggar to receiving sight and knowing Jesus is the guy who healed him, to recognizing him as the Savior. Now, I apply that to my life. Like, I can remember, even in my life, I know I remember I got saved when I was 19, so I can remember and very what it was like to be blind. I was spiritually blind, living my own life, and I remember my conversion when I met Jesus, and I went from blindness to seeing. Like, oh, in that moment, I'm like, I don't know much. In fact, I knew very, very little, but one thing I knew, I was once blind, now I see. And even trying to articulate and share that with people because of the excitement, and I see, I'm like, you guys got to come and see. You need to see what I see. Some people would think I'm maybe a little crazy. I remember my family, they were kind of like, Jeff in a cult or something, like, what's going on? I'm like, yo, you guys, you know, and just my limited knowledge trying to explain and have conversations, and just all I knew what to say was like, hey, when you die, you're going to heaven or hell, right? I can see now, I'm going to heaven, like, this is Jesus, and just trying to proclaim that, just trying to help other people have sight on what now I see. But just like this man, as my life grew, I learned more and more and more about Jesus. And identify him more relationally, right? As not just Savior, but as Lord and as Father and as brother and as a friend, as and my rock and my deliverer, my shield, my redeemer. Like, as much as Jesus is to me now, it wasn't that depth when I first got saved. Was it enough to save me? Yeah, he was my Lord and Savior. I came to that, right? I got that. But as I grew more and more, there's just so much to know about Jesus and God that it's an ever going journey to learn more and more about him. So that's a key point, because wherever you are, we can always press into God and learn more about him and his character as who he is, and also our relationship and who he is to us. So that journey is great. Now I know also not everybody has that, can remember a time when they were fully blind. I know some people, you know, came to faith when they were very young, can't even remember that they kind of had a whole life of always being with Jesus. But even there, they can have a progression of understanding more and more of who Jesus is, understanding more and more about their salvation, understanding more about that they can see because it's by the grace of God and it's a gift. And that brings me to my last point I try to tie up on. That some people get stuck. There's a lot of debates and conversations out there, especially when you get like Calvinism and Arminianism with the you being chosen and having choice, free will, election, right? It gets complicated. And you get all that theology and theological debates and stuff. But one thing to remind ourselves on is that what's fluent through the Bible is that there's God doing a work. And there's a response to us, right? So God, even in this story, did a thing for this man, and this man had to respond. He had to go wash. He could have just been like, this is disgusting. And like he heard him spit. It wasn't no secret. He was blind, but he wasn't deaf. You know, I'm sure he knew it was spit. Even if it wasn't, I mean, he didn't have to go and listen to this man, Jesus, right? So it did require some action of faith and a response to Jesus. Jesus did the first work. He responded. And if you look at this story of when this man was converted, there could be a lot of debate on that too. But if we focus on our response to God, right, that's what's important, right? It's a co-response. So, and I say that in the sense of like, God's calling us to do something. What's that action step, right? And even though we're blind, I believe God's grace, right? Just like that man was blind on his way to the pool, God knew he would make it, right? So God's grace, God sent him. There's a calling on that man's life. And as you read first on this concept, if you're one of those theological guys that like to really dig in, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is a good one, especially when you get to verse 16, right? Talking about blindness, people being spiritually blind, especially with Israel being blind to who Jesus is. And there's a key verse in there. It says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil's removed. So there's this idea of like, yes, we're blind. However, as soon as one starts to turn to Jesus, right? It says, turn to the Lord, and the veil would be removed. So if you're in an area of life where you're still confused with Jesus and you don't understand who he is, like, keep turning to him, keep looking, because he said it promises, seek and you shall find. So if you seek the Lord, you will find him, right? And another way, if you seek him, he's going to seek you out. In fact, he's already seeking you out. And as he's seeking you out, he's just, as soon as you turn to seek him, you're found, right? And now for some people, it may be a quick, immediate thing. Some people, he may have you on a journey. So if you're still trying to figure this Jesus thing out, you just keep going. Be faithful and diligently seek him. He says he's faithful to those who diligently seek him, not seek him for, you know what, I'm just going to walk 10 feet and give up and walk away. Like, diligently seek him. And again, if you're past that point and you've come to commit and your eyes are open, you see who Jesus is, there's more to be held. There's more to be held for me. There's more to be held for you. Right? Think of his disciples, right? There's more to be held. Like, when they thought they saw it all, the mount, the transfiguration on the mount, right? The resurrection of Jesus, like, all these things, like, there's more to come. Like, our eyes will continue to see more and more, especially in the spiritual realm of things. And that's when, right, the power of God really gets on display. That brings us to 6:30. That's kind of, you know, a good 3 points to bring there. Like I said, the homework, you know, check out that video, that clip. That's awesome. If you want to read the idea of what it is to be spiritually blind more and dig into that, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is a good one to dig into. And also to get some of this concept of passing through the other side, this door, if you will. You got the next John chapter 10 as Jesus continues as he's in this conversation, and he brings in the idea of, like, I'm the good shepherd, right? No one can come to the Father but through me. The sheep know my voice. And he's really, you know, getting at the Pharisees there and talking about their blindness. And the reason that they're blind is because they're being prideful to say that I can see. Right. So the last point is, right, humility. Right. They stayed in their blindness because they confessed to see. We're able to see because we confess we're blind. Like, so as you're, again, seeking and looking, the thing God's looking for is that humility to say, God, I don't understand it all. Right. God, I can't see. Help me to see. Give me eyes to see. I want to see, I want to believe. Like, we have to ask, because even faith itself is a gift. So we have not because we ask not. So even as we're looking to have more trust in Jesus, right? Even as the man came to Jesus and said, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Like, we can believe and still have unbelief at the same time. And we bring that to Jesus. Like, Jesus, I believe you. However, there's some areas I don't believe. Help me with my unbelief. Increase my faith. Increase my understanding. Open my eyes to see more. Because again, yes, we are blind for lots of reasons, whether it's self-deceit, whether it's from Satan, whether it's God just waiting to enlighten us for more of himself, waiting for us to get in that right posture of heart and mind to ask for those things to be removed. So let's go ahead and start removing the veil, right? Turn to the Lord. Keep pressing in. It was great seeing everybody again today. Great turnout. I see 52 people signed on today. I want to pray for us to have a great day and to have spiritual eyes open and aware. And again, thank you for joining in. It's always an encouragement to see all you guys sign on at 6 a.m. It's great. It's the best start of my day. These soap days are the best days I have, ready to go, better than my morning workouts. So thank you for all tuning in. Huge encouragement for me. I love it. All right. Love you guys. I'm going to pray us out. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your that we have your Bible and your written word so available to us. Thank you for this technology that we can have Bible studies at 6 a.m. without leaving our room, like without even getting changed, being in our PJs. This is awesome. So thank you, God, for that. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you for the faith that you've given us to tune into you, to make you first in our day. that you're what we need, Lord. Not the cup of coffee, not this or that, but you're the thing that we need, and we can't see without you. So help us, to see clearly. Help us to, put the windshield wipers on our soul and our spiritual eyes, that we can go out our day and see extra clear, and to see the spiritual things that are happening around us. That it would give us encouragement and purpose and understanding of what's happening around us. Because sometimes we get confused and lost in the physical, as our physical sight oftentimes blinds us from our spiritual sight. So help us to see past the veil, right? To remove the veil, especially the veil of physical sight that sometimes blinds us as we look around this world and this materialistic world, and it blinds us from the spiritual. So open our eyes, Lord. I pray that you give everyone a double blessing here today. Give them the energy they need throughout the day, the strength they need, and the comfort and peace and love and joy that you so much provide and give them the spirit of, Lord. So thank you for this. Thank you for the encouragement they bring to me. We love you, Jesus, and we ask all this to be done in your precious name. Amen. All right, guys. Love you all. Have a great day. Thank you for the messages. I wish I had time to chat and stay. We should have a second Zoom chat. Like afterwards, we can sign off on and then go to another Zoom just to chit-chat and decompress for whether it's 10 minutes, a half an hour, how long people could stay on. I think that would be pretty cool to be able to sign on and just have like a coffee hour after. That would be awesome. So it was great seeing you all. Have a wonderful day. God bless.